Support for this podcast comes from Frito-Lay and the 2023 Snack Bracket Championship. The Frito-Lay Snack Challenge is underway, and fans are voting on their favorite snacks to crown champion. We're talking about primetime matchups between the best 64 snacks in the land. Will Ruffles Ridges reign supreme? Can Doritos defend their dynasty? Or will Smart Food use their smarts for a surprise upset? Only you can decide. Get in on all the action for a chance to win up to $1,000 or a year's worth of snacks. Let your snacks be heard. Just go to FritoLaySnackIt.SBNation.com to vote and enter for a chance to win. No purchase necessary. Sweepstakes ends April 3rd, 2023. Void where prohibited. Year's worth of snacks awarded in the form of 52 coupons, each good for one bag of chips. See official rules at FritoLaySnackIt.SBNation.com.
Back to the Starting Five podcast on SB Nation Greasy Bear Blues. Or should I say, Dylan Brooks Island over here. I am the One Piece Shark.
I think my mic is working this week.
Mama said there'd be days like this. Reporting from Dylan Brooks Island, this is Guy Trevor. What's good, everybody?
It's really shitty. Mic's on. Mic check 1, 2. What's happening?
Pettiness at it. Pettiness. I don't know where we normally start at. You know, it was a little bit of a rough week, but we're gonna hang in there. Grizz is used to this. 1-2 week with some injury news. Of course, Desmond Bain, or starting with Triple J, our last episode, we was previewing his return. The next day we found out Desmond Bain had a toe sprain and he's out for 2-3 weeks. Then 3 days later, Ja Morant gets hurt. Ankle sprain, he's week to week with that. But going back throughout the week, the Grizzlies did lose to the Pelicans that Tuesday night in Jaren Jackson's return. Really just back and forth game into the fourth quarter when it got away from him. Friday, mostly had to lead throughout the whole game. Oklahoma City never like went away. They kept fighting back, but the Grizzlies eventually pulled away. Of course, Ja Morant, like I mentioned earlier, he got the injury late in the game, but they pulled it off. Triple J had a huge performance in that one. Then they decided to give Triple J a rest 2 days later without Ja, without Bane, without him, and without Zaire for that matter. And Dylan Brooks' show fell just short at the Brooklyn Nets. Once again, another game like the Pelicans game. Close throughout, got to the fourth quarter, got away from them. So what are y'all thoughts about the week that we had last week?
I'll kick it off first, and I'm going to come from an avenue that I don't even think anybody, at least on this podcast, is going to come from. And so I'm going to put up my stunner frames and completely block out the injuries and say, when in the hell are the Grizzlies going to play defense? You take away, I get it, Desmond Bane's hurt. I get it, Zaire's hurt. Triple J just got back. I get it. But in the past 7 games, Sheedy, in the past 7 games, Sharky, and in the past 7 games, Trevor, the Memphis Grizzlies have given up 116 points per game. That's towards the bottom half of the league in those 7 games. That's terrible. I get it. You're without Ja Morant. I get it. You're without all of these players. And essentially, I mean, we've talked about this before. You're playing guys that you probably didn't expect to be playing, one, then two, to be playing the minutes that they're playing. Check. I get all of that. But at the end of the day, we've talked on this podcast before. We talk on Let's Be Real several times. That defense is just you willing to get your hands dirty. Defense is just a matter of you wanting to be able to guard the person in front of you. Defense is being able to rebound. Defense is being able to box out. Defense is just really giving a damn if we call in the spade a spade. And right now the Grizzlies aren't doing that. So that's my concern right now for the Grizzlies is players start to come back healthy. Hopefully, Ja Morant isn't out the extent of time. I think it's just a great one sprain. Hopefully we can see Desmond Bane back in a couple of weeks. Hopefully we don't randomly sit out Jaren Jackson Jr. just for the hell of it. So hopefully, all that being said, I'm just hoping at some point in time, the Grizzlies decide to play defense, and they also decide to show up in the fourth quarter, which they also have not done as well either, just ask the New Orleans Pelicans. And ask the Brooklyn Nets as well, too. So that's my issue. That's my concern. It's at some point, hopefully we decide to play defense, and hopefully that's not that sometime soon.
Well, the latter part, you can definitely blame on injuries, so there's really nothing much you can do there. When your closer is out of the lineup in the fourth quarter, it's going to be highly difficult. Or really, when your second and third best player are sitting out, you're really just out there just scrambling, trying to hope for the best and hope that you can shorten possessions by at least playing good defense, which, to your earlier point, the Grizzlies are not doing right now. I think the only person that's at least trying out there, quote unquote, is Dylan Brooks, but he's guarding the team, other team's best player. And let's keep it a bean. They, outside of maybe SGA, who was on a hot streak coming into the game against Memphis, where he actually did a pretty good job on him. Not much on the defensive side on his end either. So, again, just asking New Orleans Pelicans, just asked the Brooklyn Nets just this past Sunday, and it is what it is. But outside of the defensive end, I mean, is on the bright side, just great to see these young guys at least getting some quality minutes. I mean, I'm just looking at it as a glass half full type of deal. At some point, they will get fully healthy. We can only just pray and hope in this, but along with them getting fully healthy, let's just hope that they can finally lock in on defense and get to the Grizzlies team that we know that this team could be. All these games were not really, outside of the Thunder game, which the Grizzlies won, these three games were winnable games. The Grizzlies, if I'm not mistaken, the Grizzlies led at half in both the Pelicans game as well as the Brooklyn Nets game. So these games were actually winnable. They just got away from them. So, in the end, man, it's a decent effort. It's good to see the young guys get minutes, but something's got to change on the defensive side of the ball because there's literally too many shots given up on the inside. And shout-out to former Grizzly Yuta Watanabe, who probably just earned a paycheck with his fourth-quarter performance against the Grizzlies for Brooklyn. So, but, yeah, something's got to change defensively for Memphis, or this could get bad.
Yeah. Out of the last 12 quarters this week, we've actually won six of them, to the point you guys are making. And of those six quarters we won, three of them came against OKC. So that goes without saying right there. Yes, Dylan Brooks is our best defender, yes. But defense is effort. When you're allowing the Brooklyn Nets to shoot 60% field goal percentage, 40 plus, I think maybe 47 from three. And don't get me wrong, I know some guys are hot, but it's a hand in the face. It's boxing out. It's getting the rebound. There's these little intangibles that we have to do. And knowing that Triple J is coming back again, I told y'all I'm going to reserve, like I said on Twitter as well. Please don't go away, Twitter, by the way. I'm going to give him 10 games, and then I will evaluate him because I heard a lot about him when we beat OKC. Didn't hear so much on his first game back. Because why? Because he had a great game. I give him that, right? But overall, Taylor Jenkins, we got to rethink how we do things in our lineup, so to speak. I know Trevor pretty much called it, you know, once if Ja's out and Desmond's out, Dylan Brooks going to shoot 30 shots. And by God, he shot 30 shots against the Nets. I think maybe he made 11 for 30. Which I mean, it's trash and pickles in the trash for that. And I don't know what pickles in the trash means actually. But moving forward, and what we have in our offense, we have to do more on ball pick and roll with Steven Adams and Tyus Jones. There has to be something with Dylan Brooks and hopefully Triple J when he's there, or Santi with a pick and roll off ball. And then, ladies and gentlemen, if you don't and haven't been reading, Big John has been putting up some stats. Win or lose, if the man's putting up 16 and 10, I think 7 and 9 for other stats, he's filling up the stat sheet where he can. He's a ball hawk, so to speak. On I should have compared him to NFL player, But he's doing the intangibles that we need everyone else to do. And there's only one John Conchar, win, lose, or draw. But we got to come up with a better scheme for our offense. But defensively, if that means going to a zone, Taylor Jenkins, then my God, play the zone. And learn how to play the zone. Because if Dylan Brooks is it, Jaren Jackson's out. Jaren Jackson's our stopper, so to speak, for interior defense. We can't give up 60% for field goals again and expect to win a game without, to your point, Trevor, without our closer. Our backcourt giving us 50 points a night. Last time we went on this podcast, I said that they had the best backcourt because they are having 50 points a night. So if we're losing 50 points, we not got no shooters like that. We got to step defensively. So you're not going to change your jump shot overnight, but hell, you can give some more effort on defense and getting the rebounds moving forward. So that's all I got for now.
Yep. And to your point, scouting, Sheedy, I was actually about to get on defense. So we was watching, I'm watching the Brooklyn Nets game, my wife, and she's getting very frustrated at the offense of the Grizzlies. And in the game, we're discussing, I'm sitting here like, hey, let's go 115 points. When you score 115, you're supposed to win. Like, you can get on Brandon Clark losing dribbles. I tried to explain to her that he's a role player. When you lose your star players, role players got, it's hard. They're not stars for a reason, right? But let's go 115 points. There's no argument about the offense. Dylan, yeah, he shot. Dylan Brooks was pretty much single-handedly keeping him in the game. Let's just keep him 100.
He shot a decent percentage.
They score 115. Offense wasn't the problem. That New Orleans game, offense wasn't the problem. It was defense, yeah. Right? And it kind of goes back to the arguments early in the year, with a certain person on Twitter who's going to keep being on the head that we're going to miss the Anthony Melton, Kyle Anderson, who were two IBL defenders, right? And I think I said Kevin's podcast said to start the season, yeah, we're going to miss him because you got to adjust to your roster, right? Last year, we missed Jonas Valanciunas the first 20 games after we traded him, right? Because we had to adjust to not having that, those easy 2 points that we used to have. And eventually, they adjusted. The defense got better. So I'm thinking the same this year. Eventually, over time, maybe Taylor Jenkins need to change the scheme up. Like she said, play some zone or just change his point of attack defense because the way they be – just leaving people open, it just makes no sense, right? It's more than just effort. Effort is a whole big part of it, but the scheme of it, I think they're going to adjust. They need to pick some things up. Injuries are hard because at this point, I tired this episode, will they ever become healthy, fully healthy, right? Like, are we going to say this 2 months from now? Oh, dang, I can't wait to get fully healthy. At some point, your defense is not because of health. It's effort and scheme. Like, at some point, they got to come together and be able to play some defense. I don't know if you're going to ever be 100% healthy, right? So, defense. That's what we're going to be
Another thing over. Real quick, and I know this hasn't really been brought up as much, but the Grizzlies are leaving too many points at the free throw line, especially with these past three games. The New Orleans game, as a team, they shot 68%. In the Thunder game, they shot 73% from the free throw line. And then in the Brooklyn game, they were 54%. They were 17-31 from the free throw line in the game against Brooklyn. That's too many points left at the line. They can, if they make at least maybe four or five of those, the game's pretty much different there. So, granted, the defense is the problem. That is 100% the issue. But another thing is you can't lead to – can't lead too many points at the line. That's free ones.
And I think when you're undermanned the way that the Grizzlies are, like, you got to do the intangibles. You got to, dot your I's and cross your T's. And so if it's, trying to make, shooting for 80% from the free throw line, over the next couple of games, if it's caring a little bit more about, the defensive side of the ball, if it's putting a hand in somebody's face as they're getting ready to take a jump shot, you got to do the small things when you're a short man to the way that they are. You got to be able to scratch and claw and do whatever you can to come out of the game with a dub. And right now, I just feel like the Grizzlies aren't doing that. I think they are finding different ways to not necessarily finding different ways to lose the game, but again, they just aren't doing the small things. They are doing the prerequisite things that you need to do in order to win some of the games. Because y'all have already talked about it. These games were all close. The game against the Pelicans, you were winning. You actually had momentum And then there were some things about Taylor Jenkins that he did or did not do that I did not like. So there's that. But you were in that game. You were, you know, you won the Oklahoma City game, and you were right there with the Brooklyn Nets, with Kyrie, with Ben Simmons randomly going off, with Kevin Durant shooting the way that he did. You're right there, and when you're not making your free throws, when you're not rebounding the ball, when you're not playing defense, stuff like that is going to come back and bite you.
Yep, man. Well said. That's a great point, Trevor. Because I was looking at Steve Adams, man. He somehow went from 50% to 25% this year.
Yeah, like, I watched that game. I was like, Steve, just make one, bro. Just one. I need you one to fall, so that way you can build on that one. Like,
or you know, maybe he just needs to stay after and shoot some free throws. Knock over some ladders, you know, stuff like that. Maybe to jumpstart him to make some free throws. That's all I'm saying. Yeah.
Ain't nobody going to try and trash off him, though, because he's just going to pick him up and move him out the way. So, hey.
The little things.
Oh, man. That's hilarious. Man. Shout out to Giannis for that. Shout out to Giannis. But, man, what? So, I guess going forward, before we start predicting the next next 2 weeks of games, what do y'all expect from – how do y'all expect the team to respond with knowing that now we know Ja will be out, now we know Desmond Bane will be out. The games are spread apart enough that Trey PJ should play. He shouldn't have return for injury management. I would hope not for too many games. What do y'all expect with him and Dylan Brooks leading the way over the next couple of weeks before Ja Bane and Zaire, because around his timetable as well, all three of them should be back around the same time.
Well, good news right now, Ja has been upgraded to doubtful. I'm not necessarily sure if he's going to play or not, so that is at least somewhat of a decent sign. He's upgraded to doubtful for the game against the Kings on tomorrow. But going forward, I'm just hoping to what we've been preaching this entire podcast, that at least Taylor Jenkins can lock in, get this team to lock in defensively, and just – do the best to try to shorten the game as much as possible. Like, even if you have to scratch and claw and win some games 95 to 92 or something like that, then so be it. At least you've locked in some shape or form on the defensive side of the ball. They got a tough matchup Tuesday. I know we'll get to it later with Sacramento, because Sacramento is balling right now. So I just need them to lock in defensively. I know they have enough talent to put up buckets. To your point, they put up 115 against Brooklyn. So in the end, man, just hopefully Taylor Jenkins can get this team to lock in defensively and try to get back on the upswing of things.
Yeah, Trevor just essentially took what I said in terms of, like, I think they'll be better defensively. I think most of these games that are upcoming are at home, so that gives you a little bit of a boost of energy, gives you, you know, that little bit of extra assertiveness, I guess, there you go, to play defense. So I think, you know, with them being at home, but then also with them, to your point, Sharky, with them having multiple days off in between games, those are essentially like days you get to practice. And I think, like, one thing that we have to consider or think about is when these games are every 2 or 3 days, or when these games are every other night, like, those are times essentially you don't even get a chance to practice, because that's time where you're traveling, that's time you're trying to rest, and really essentially preparation for the next game. So I think there's a game tomorrow, then I think they don't play again until Friday. So there's definitely, and again, both of those games are home. There's at least multiple chances where you can, as a team, you can collectively, you know, watch some film, talk amongst each other, figure out where you can be on the defense side.
Yeah, I definitely hear where you're going, Skylar, and also you, Trevor. I think, to be honest, if I'm looking at this from perspective of a few weeks, so we're saying really Sacramento to when they get done with Detroit, so to speak. Man, you're really looking at to bring back Cap's moniker. If we can get 500, I mean, it's a good day, because the teams that we're playing, some are doing better than others. Others are not, but you don't want to overlook those that are not. And so to me, I think a feather in the cap for this one would be being 500. But I mean, if you're 2-4, you're not really too upset. But 500 is ideal.
Yeah, just looking at the rest of the Western Conference standings, I mean, everybody's doing the same thing. It feels like, I mean, the number one team is 12-6, and we're 10-7. So we ain't too far. We're a game and a half out from first place. We're, you know, I mean, you got three teams that are 10-6. Two teams 10-7, two teams 9-7, one team 9-6. Yeah. It's a bunch of mess right there right now. So of course, you know, it's early the season. So not too worried about much yet, especially defensive effort. But one funny thing that really just came back to my mind at the end of that Brooklyn game, my wife was wondering why Xavier Tillman. Well, he came in the game at the end, very end. She was like, "Why didn't he play Tillman? Yada yada, you know, like he's good." Yeah, I was like, yeah, then you
good at what? It should have been your question.
But did he proceed about it free throw?
Yeah, Tillman hasn't been too great. I'll suffer through David Roddy and his struggles before I put Xavier Tillman back in the game. I'm sorry,
shitty boy.
Hey, and I know our guy, our former guest, EJ from Grindhouse Grease, has been beating the table to get Kenny Lofton up here, and he over here dominating G League. So at this point, with all these injuries, you might as well at this point give him a gift.
Why not?
He can't be that much worse than Xavier Tillman. I promise you that.
And I know the people explaining to saying his defense. So I'm not beating my head on the table saying definitely break him up, but their arguments are his defense is not good. Well, the team is not playing defense right now anyway. So you know,
it can't get much worse.
That's not a good argument. That's not a good argument right now.
Yeah.
Listen, I don't know who Taylor Jenkinson just called, but I mean, I'm right here with it. I'm calling up Kenny Lofton immediately. I'm knocking on the door. Thank you. And you're going to bring him on up. Because, again, if you want to rest Triple J, who knows how this management will go. Like you guys said, there's some space between games. But Kenny Lofton Jr. could be just something different, something to bring that energy that we might need.
A spark.
Something. Because, like, we're down. We're down Ja. We're down Desmond Bane, who, let's not even argue this anymore, top two players on the team. There's no need for another argument with that. And then you have the rest of your squad. So, I mean, and you're losing 50 points. Come on. I know what he's doing in the G League. It's the G League. I get it. But we can praise Victor Wombatidi. Then let's praise Kenny for what he's doing.
What name did you just get, bro?
Wombatidi.
At least you in the ballpark. At least a certain host on our show that's no longer called Kamehameha. I don't know why.
What's his name again? One more time, Sheedy.
No, please no.
Victor Wombatidi.
When you say that name, it makes me think of Wakanda Forever and the dude with the wings on his feet.
That's what I've seen it. Yeah, so
blind. Wombatidi sounds like a guy that would have wings on his feet.
Ah, man, y'all was about to kick me off this podcast. I was about to start singing pretty wings.
No.
Hey, clip this, put it out there. Nope, you're gonna do it.
No, because you're not going to sing it.
Not you hitting the note.
You cannot sing. No, actually, you lied to that man.
Bring it in. We got to talk about the week at hand for the Grizz. Let's bring it in. It's really.
All right, man. And seeing this, Ja is doubtful. That means he'll be on his way back potentially Friday. Hopefully, him and Zion find a play together in the same game. Because I'm sick.
Come on, girl. You're asking too much.
Golly. I just knew before I'm about to play. But, you know. All right. Next 2 weeks, since we're probably taking this week off, we got the Kings. We got the Pelicans at home this week. Got the Knicks on the road next Sunday. Got to play it back in Minnesota. We're going to be back in Minnesota now next Wednesday. Mm-hmm. Next Friday, back here at the Grindhouse against the Philadelphia 76ers. And next Sunday at Detroit. What do y'all got for those six games?
That's a lot of games. I wasn't expecting you to go that many, sir. Let's do this. Let me run through these real quick. First of all, Grizz went in on Tuesday. They went in tomorrow. Why? Because I'm back. I'm back at Club FedEx Forum. I believe the team is undefeated in the past year and a half since I've been pulling up to the FedEx Forum watching them win or play. So therefore, give me a dub on that one. Then New Orleans rolls into town on Friday, and like I just said, Grizzlies are undefeated when I pull up. But damn it, New Orleans Pelicans just got our number. So I'm gonna have to come back to that game. I still don't know which one I'm gonna do about that one yet. So against the Knicks, I think by that point in time, Ja would have been back. So give me a dub there. Cap said we in Minnesota now. I still have no idea what the hell that means. Give me a dub against that one. And then I think you said against Philly. I think that's a loss. And is Pistons on the? Is Pistons on there? Did you mention Pistons? Pistons, they ain't looking too good. Plus, they got a nice little nice. They are hurt. They're injured. So give me that one as well, which makes me come back to the Grizzlies and Pelicans game on Friday. I don't know, man. I think they still lose. I'm sorry. I'm gonna have to pull up to the FedEx Forum on Black Friday. And I still think the Pelicans gonna win because I ain't seen the Grizzlies beat the Pelicans in quite some time. And so, yeah, there's that.
They beat them 3 times last year.
I was just about to say
that. Long time ago, bro. Long time ago.
That was last season?
Right,
that
was last
season. Okay. Give me 4-2 for this 6-game stretch. I think they take care of business on Tuesday against Sacramento. They lose at home to New Orleans because to Skyler's point, New Orleans just has our number for some reason. Give me a W against the Knicks. I think Ja will be backed up by then. Minnesota, I'm not sure what they're doing, but
not playing defense.
Well, that's one thing, but they look somewhat better as of late, I guess. So I'll take – some reason I think Memphis doesn't show up in that game. So I'll give the Grizzlies an L there. Joel Embiid is out. I can't remember the last time I seen James Harden in the Philadelphia Sixers uniform because he's been out most of the season as well. So I'll take the Grizzlies over the Sixers there. The Pistons are without Cade Cunningham, who's probably going to be done. They probably may shut him down for the season, and they vet suck. So give me Memphis over the Pistons.
Yeah, and Tyrese Maxey is out now as well.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that. Yeah, Tyrese Maxey is out also. So, yeah, your big three, your main three for Philly is out. Yeah, give me a W for Memphis there.
Yeah. I think Joel is only missing 2 games, though, so – he'll be back by the time we play them, FYI, from what I'm seeing with these reports. But nonetheless, this is not the same Sacramento Kings team. So I know your record's on the line, Skyler, but them Kings, they don't care. And so I'm thinking a loss. I'm choosing a loss against the Kings. I think we also lose against the Pelicans because they have our number. And honestly, I don't know. I think it's this earlier start time against the Knicks at 5. I'm calling a loss there too. And I think we do regain our momentum against Minnesota. And you know what? I think a loss against Philly and a win against Detroit. I think Joel Embiid, depending upon if Triple J plays or not against Philly, I don't think it'll be that much of a difference. I think we need some more spacing. So I said modest 2-4. Great if we go 3-3. So I'm going to stick with 2-4 for this upcoming 2 weeks.
That puts Memphis slightly above 500 at 12-11. But, hey, it is what it is. It's still early. So I'm just saying.
Yeah, and they're probably on par with the rest of the conference, who appears to be doing the same thing. They all jumping them right I wanted to go 4-2 until I just looked and saw the Grizzlies' record without Ja Morant this season. It's like 20-5 team from last season. This is 0-3 team this season. He's definitely missing Sacramento. So, Skyler, yeah, about to take L there, my guy. Especially the Kings, the way they've been playing, like, too. They on the road right now. So, yeah, I say that's an L. But if Ja Morant does indeed return Friday night, I'm predicting he will, they are going to get past this Pelicans curse. Yes, I said it. One, could they beat the same team three times last year? So, unless Zion is actually going to play this time, we're going to see a giant Zion game. I'm going to say Ja can finally beat him because he's just like 0-4 versus Zion as well. I'm going ahead and say they're going to get over the Pelicans curse. So, going to next Sunday in New York. Should be able to take care of business against the Knicks. I'm going to predict they will. I'm going to predict they take care of business in Minnesota in the rivalry game. Predict they take care of business against Philly. But then they're going to have a letdown in Detroit. So give me 4-2. They're going to win. They're going to lose at the beginning and lose at the end. They're going to go on a 4-game winning streak in between.
I don't know awesome how reactive he goes to business.
He'll bring joy to the white beat at least. And Jalen Duren, I ain't going to lie, Jalen Duren has been balling, though. Like, real talk, he's been balling for Detroit. Hey,
if they lose to the Pistons, bro.
It's the NBA, dog.
I know.
It's the NBA, bro. Anything can happen, bro.
No, it ain't even that. It's my Grizzly timeline on Twitter. You feel me? That's what I'm concerned about. I don't even care about all that.
Hey, Twitter might not. Hey, Twitter might not exist by then.
Hey, chill out, Bob.
That's true. Twitter may be gone by the time.
Rest of the rumors. Rest of the rumors. They don't post exist by that point. So you might not have to worry about that.
If the next time we get on this journey, it ain't no Twitter, I'll be pissed.
Oh, man.
I'm about to just go back to MySpace and start talking crap on there.
Nah.
Hey.
I'm gonna edit my top four. That joke probably outdated.
Well, that's your top four. I can say about 24. Oh man, hilarious, but that does it, man. Hopefully, we actually still have Twitter. So, Grizz Twitter, as much as y'all do irk us, we will miss y'all if it does die. So, hopefully, Twitter still lives on to see.
But and somebody got to keep it real with y'all.
Grizz Twitter need a counseling session, they need a life coach.
Yeah, I honestly, every single fan base needs a counseling session. You want to keep it 100. Yeah, I'm talking about all sports. And
real talk, like that's facts. Because I need to know what it seems like every team does the exact same thing when it comes to social media, man. So I think every team has a go to blame person for whenever the team loses. I wonder who it is for the rest of the NBA, but you know, it is what it is.
But as y'all know, long as Twitter is here, y'all can follow us at Starting 5 MEM, follow Grizzly Bear Blues, SB and Grizzlies, and Twitter happens to go away. Y'all always check out the articles at GrizzlyBearBlues.com and listen to our podcasts on any podcast network, including our Starting 5 podcast, GBB Live podcast, Core 4 podcast, the Next Gen podcast, and Grizzly Bear Bets, all under the Grizzly Bear Blues podcast network umbrella on any podcast platform. And until next time, if there is a next time with Twitter, follow me at the one DAONE _P Shark. And if there's not, you can follow me on all the platforms, Instagram and Facebook and you know whatever. At the same.
Yes, I'm not gonna even give out my Twitter name. That's probably gonna be irrelevant. So just follow me on MySpace and Scott Clayton. Like, well, I don't even know is there a handle for this? Follow me on MySpace. I'll put you on my top four immediately.
Man, if Twitter's gone, you just gonna have to find me. Catch me on these podcasts. But anyway, while Twitter's still up, I'm at the Art of Trevor. Just remember, of is still the preposition.
I don't know what to say at this point. Hopefully we still have Twitter. But I actually do connect with my Hispanic people as well at Mi Gente. So go ahead and highlight me there. Coco Chocolate is my name there.
First of all, you just lie. No, you don't connect with your Hispanic people. That's a lie. Do you really?
Let me tell you something. I speak Spanish every day when I'm at school talking to those kids. Uno plus uno equals dos.
Bro said uno plus uno. Bro, you just mix English and Spanish. Cut the main mic off, bro. Let's go home.
You messed up. Fallout Field guy at Tim Shakir could be on the list.
I had to cut. Anybody messed up. Funny enough, I had a question. I had a question for Skyler before you going off on a tangent. if more than four people follow you, how are you going to do your top four?
Cause you asking the wrong questions, bro. Let's just figure it out. You're asking me questions at 8 o'clock at night, bro. I'm just trying to get through the night, bro. You're asking me questions. It's got my head turning, bro. I don't know. I'm not gonna figure it out. I'm
probably going to extend to the top eight to keep everybody happy.
He's going to shuffle them like the fantasy lineup.
He's going to have to.
I got it. See, what I'm going to do is I'm going to rank my followers, right? Now I'm going to do a selection show every single Monday. You feel me? So I'm going to change it. The list is going to be fluid. So it may be a day that my grandma, she in my top four. You know,
you're going to have live reactions.
CD may be in my top eight the next week. You see what I'm saying? It's going to change, bro. I'm gonna do a selection show on this podcast every single week. If Twitter shuts down and I got to go back to my space, we will do a selection show on Starting Five for my followers. That's how
we're gonna have live reactions for every follower.
Most of me trying to get to the New Year's Day season.
Another question here is, what's your going to be your background music? Because you know you got to get some good background music.
Man, I'm going to tell you right now, if I got to do it right now, first of all, Rich.
Is it going to be the Maxwell Pretty Wings?
All right, on that note.
It's going to be some wings. Ooh, hot wings. In there.
With the crinkle cut.
Yes, sir.
All right, man. Go Grease.